The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
I want to start today with reaction to that court case that you heard Andrew bring you some of the details of, which is the suspended sentence given to Cathal Crowe, who is a member of the army, who pleaded guilty to assaulting Natasha O'Brien 2 years ago in Limerick. The Circuit Criminal Court heard how O'Brien was punched until she lost consciousness. The judge in the case imposed a 3-year suspended sentence on Crotty and said a custodial sentence would have had a very serious consequences for his career in the army. Afterwards, Natasha O'Brien spoke how the assault had a devastating impact on her life and continues to do so, and the case has generated plenty of criticism. Earlier today, the Defence Forces say they are carrying out their own internal disciplinary action. Let's get some reaction to it now. I'm going to be joined on the line by Kate Mitchell, Head of Policy at the National Women's Council. But first, Trina O'Connor is a criminologist. Trina, lots of people just can't understand why Cathal Crowe walked yesterday without going to prison, even though the judge had imposed a sentence.
Yeah, I'm being one of them. I think whenever we look at justice and how it's served, we have to look at the principles of justice, and they include inappropriate, it needs to be proportional, there needs to be retribution, there needs to be a deterrent, and there also needs to be the rehabilitation element of it. And I think in this case, it's very difficult to see where all of them key measures are met in this case, because he was given a suspended sentence. I'm not sure if there was even any conditions on that sentence. And part of the judgment was around the fact that this young man is a soldier and that could ruin his career. And I think the victim in this case very clearly stated that her life and her career had been changed utterly, and she felt that there was no justice there. And many people will feel that she didn't get the justice that she deserved. And I think it's very important whenever we're discussing violent crime like this that we really recognise and accept the effects that trauma has on an individual. It can take years for somebody's nervous system to regulate after experiencing trauma. And what Natasha did in this case was so brave, going into court, facing her perpetrator. And I think she expressed how the trauma now, she feels she is now traumatised by the process. And that's not what our criminal justice system should be about. The victim's value of their life, of their choices, of their career should be of equal value, if not more, than the perpetrator. And I think that's where this case has caused an awful lot of people to feel it's a very unfair judgment.
Cathal Crotty yesterday pleaded guilty, but until that point he hadn't. Should that not be taken into account when judges impose sentencing?
Absolutely. And I think one of the other things that was offensive to the victim in this case was that she was told that she should be grateful to him for pleading guilty. But let's be real here, he didn't plead guilty until he was presented with the evidence that clearly showed that it was a random attack, and Natasha in no way provoked it. And also, I think we need to look at the lack of remorse here. So there was the Snapchat commentary that he made to his friend group, the remarks around two to put her down and two to keep her down or something like that. So they're the kind of things that really should be taken into consideration. And I think that the judge in this case, it really wasn't the best kind of commentary to make, that she should be grateful. This was we have to remember, at the heart of this is an innocent woman who did nothing to deserve this. And under no circumstances can she be blamed. And yet she's been told to be grateful that she didn't have to go to trial. And now she's probably going to have to go back a second time to try and get justice.
Judge Tom O'Donnell in the Limerick Circuit Court did say that Crotty's actions were utterly appalling, and I do get the other points you're making there. The DPP can appeal this sentence.
Yeah, they can. And I think given the outcry by most people, I think at this stage they probably will look to do that. And I know that the Defence Forces are currently carrying out their own investigation. But again, I would mention something else that happened in the case, in that a senior officer came and gave what could be described as a character reference, where this officer described the perpetrator as somebody with an exemplary kind of record, that this was out of character, And I think that's important that we talk about that as well.
I do know that the Taoiseach Micheál Martin has spoken about this, and he did say that any time a member of the Defence Forces is in the criminal court system, that their superior officers or one of the superior officers do appear in court with them. It is part of the procedure. I just want to bring in Kate Mitchell on this, Head of Policy Development at the National Women's Council. Kate, over the last number of years, we have been told that victims of violence, victims of domestic violence, and also in particular women who are subject to violence, that they will be the priority in this. And yesterday we heard in that sentencing that, well, also we have to take into account that if there was a custodial sentence imposed on Cathal Crotty, this would have an impact on his career.
Good afternoon, Ian, and good afternoon to your listeners. And the first thing I would like to say is that the National Women's Council commends Natasha and her bravery for coming forward and speaking out so bravely about her experience and to really express our solidarity with how she's feeling after the judgment. It is NWC's view that the sentence handed down is not justice. It is not in keeping with a zero tolerance approach to violence against women, which is clearly committed to in national policy. A man cannot viciously attack a woman, be proven guilty in a court of law, and expect not to get a custodial sentence. So it is our strong belief that the DPP must appeal this sentence in order to correct this injustice. But at a much broader level, and as you've alluded to, we need to see reform of our justice system so that it is victim survivor centred, that we are appropriately and effectively supporting women and placing their voices very much at the heart of the justice system. And importantly also, we need to tackle the widespread misogyny that allows violence against women to grow to the epidemic levels at which it currently exists. And to achieve that, we need to see that happen through a number of ways. If we are to achieve a zero tolerance approach to violence against women, we need to see full resourcing and implementation of our national strategy, but also of our new statutory agency on domestic, sexual and gender-based violence, which will be a real driving force in monitoring and implementing the strategy. And as you said, you know, coming back to that point in terms of ensuring that women are the priority and that they're at the heart of the system, the National Women's Council did launch a report last year that examined the experience of domestic violence survivors within the court system. And that report really highlighted very stark and very concerning findings in terms of women's experiences. And what we found is that the justice system is not currently victim survivor centred. It often forces women to relive their trauma over and over again, making them recount the attack to many different people along the way in the process. It can take years for women to have their case heard in court, you know, and that causes huge and ongoing distress and harm, including to their mental health. And ultimately, women are often faced with making a choice between the pursuit of justice and their own well-being. And there's no system of guaranteed or consistent support for women navigating that system. And it often falls on the voluntary sector to provide that system. But there are huge issues in that context as well in terms of the lack of sustainable, secure, multi-annual funding to provide those supports. So ultimately, we can't have a justice system that's harmful for survivors of violence against women, that re-traumatises women, and that doesn't give custodial sentence when violence is proven to have occurred.
Is it time for perhaps mandatory sentencing when it does come to assaults, either domestic or, in this case, just a random assault against a woman?
Yeah, I think we have seen obviously significant strides in terms of addressing violence against women. We have a very robust strategy that sets out a very clear and effective blueprint for promoting a zero tolerance approach to violence against women. We've seen developments in terms of the legislation and sentencing on assault causing harm. The Minister for Justice has doubled that sentencing from 5 to 10 years. We are going to see new legislation coming in around character witness statements and people being cross-examined where they are providing a character witness, and we're hoping that that legislation will be enacted before the end of this stall recess. So I think those developments have to be recognised, and they, I suppose, will help to address some of these issues. But there are much broader issues that we do need to tackle in terms of, you know, addressing that culture that exists that allows this violence to occur. And we really need collectively as a society, men, women, and members of the judiciary to stand together and say that this isn't acceptable, to call out misogyny in all the way that it exists, from casual sexist comments to violent attacks on women. And in order to do that, we do need to see the full resourcing and implementation of our national strategy, and that our new statutory agency is also appropriately resourced and equipped to do that.
The bravery of Natasha O'Brien, who spoke outside the court yesterday, and I know she's given a number of interviews today, that may help a lot of people out there. But do you also think when people see the sentencing, it will deter some people from pursuing assault claims?
I think it's really important that victims and survivors feel that they can come forward. And it obviously, this has triggered a lot of individuals and it's sparked huge outcry across society, and understandably so, in terms of, you know, this was a shocking and brutal attack, and it struck a huge chord with many women and many individuals across Ireland. And we know what it's like to be afraid of men's violence. You know, we know the dangers that it presents, and the vast majority of violence against women is perpetrated by men. But I suppose the thing to say is that, you know, the majority of violence is occurring, you know, behind closed doors. You know, it's intimate partner violence that is occurring, and we don't have a specific issue with men attacking women in the streets. We have a widespread issue of male violence against women that has to be targeted and stopped.
Okay.
And to ensure that confidence in individuals, we do need to see that resourcing of our national strategy, and to ensure that we have a victim survivor centred approach and system, and that women and victims and survivors are appropriately supported.
Kate Mitchell from the National Women's Council and Trine O'Connor, criminologist, thank you very much for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper, weekdays from 4:30. Today.